This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak Show normally airs every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network. You can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. That number again, 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of PAL Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have a virtual radio room called the People Speak Radio Show that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a fantastic show tonight. I'm more excited than a Monsanto lobbyist in the White House. We're talking to a very special guest right here, a regular speaker on Earth Changes and Terraforming the Earth, a well-known American researcher, a prolific speaker, an outspoken advocate of human rights, and a renowned political commentator. We're talking tonight to Mr. Rick Chicago about the Earth changes taking place in 2016 right before our eyes. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show, Mr. Earthplacer.
Hi, Steve. That was quite a bit of accolade there. I don't know that I'm worth all of that. I'm not a prolific speaker, that's for sure.
Well, you prolifically speak to me.
So what do you want to dive into first here tonight, Steve? We have so much stuff going on around us. It's pathetic. You know, one of the largest population centers in the United States, Los Angeles right now, had a catastrophic methane and natural gas release north of L.A. And this is not making it to the mainstream media. Doctors are saying, get the heck out of there. The officials have been warning the citizens of California for quite some time right now that they're going to be out of water in the next year, and they told them that a year ago. People are just not taking these messages and these earth changes very serious at all.
Well, Earthplace, we'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour, but my first question to you primarily is, why don't people get this, that things are changing so fast and the mainstream media is not reporting these changes? Why do people just not get it, that something's going on?
I don't know. You know, I've had these conversations with Dane Wigington. We're putting the information out there. We're trying to give them factual information and places to go to look at the information for themselves. You know, the state of our forests, our water. We don't know what it is. Is it television, programming, mind control? You know, everybody's so caught up in, is it Hillary or is it the Donald or will it be a Bush? You know, the football games, Dancing with the Stars. Can they get another six-pack of beer at the 7-Eleven? And they're just oblivious to what's going on around them. Even the skies look different.
Is there many unusual things that you yourself have personally seen happening in the planet or happening in the ecosystems out there?
I don't even know where to start with this, with Fukushima. And, of course, you know, I'm not an eyewitness. I'm not on the West Coast right now. But what's the devastation going on in the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima is so alarming. And it's not just a West Coast thing. It's our food. It's in every other drop of water in the rain and the snow that falls on us for the rest of our lives. And I don't know what level of danger it's going to take for people to think about, you know, what's going on in the environment. Just this last summer, I was up in the Valles Caldera, an extinct volcano we were exploring in the Jemez Mountains of New Mexico here. Went into the Soda Springs, the Whistling Rocks, you know, all the geological features along the caldera and the rim. And one of the most startling things that we noticed while we were up there, and we've been up there, you know, this is my stomping ground. The guys that I am associated with are expedition members. We're all guides, Rocky Mountain guides. We've been doing this for 20 years. And we were there together on the rim of the caldera. 10,000 feet up in the Rockies. Very nice, beautiful, pristine day. But then one of us noticed we hadn't seen a bird or an animal or an insect the entire day. Here wow. I am at 1,100 feet in shorts and a T-shirt. We have food. Nothing brings out insects and animals more than having a cookout in the deep wilderness. I mean, the deep wilderness. Not a fly, not a gnat, not a mosquito, not a bird, not a squirrel, nothing. The forest, we were used to going up there, and we had to take machetes just to get through the forest because the wild flowers and the grass and the foliage would grow up to your hip. And then the bushes would even grow higher, obscuring most of the forest. And it was really hard to walk through the forest. But while we were up there, there wasn't a blade of grass. There wasn't a flower. There wasn't a bush. The trees were dead, except for maybe the top 5 feet were alive, and the rest of the tree was dead, turning brown and black. Even the bark beetles were interested in these trees. The forest is essentially dying. And we talked about this for hours between ourselves. We've had the rainfall. We've had the watershed. We've had the snowpack. We're turning around from the drought. But the forest is still dead in many parts. And where we were, it was exceptionally bad.
And especially when you don't see any life forms, when you don't see any animals or anything, any of the critters or the bugs that usually are there, that's usually a sign that something is amiss or something is out of whack or out of balance. Is that not true?
That is absolutely correct. I'm not sure how do you tell people, explain to people that these drastic changes are occurring in the deep wilderness and all around us and even in your own communities. Now we're having aquifer problems. All of our waterways are polluted. All of our streams, our rivers, our ponds, our lakes, and now even the Pacific Ocean are full of lead and mercury. And, of course, they try to filter these things out in municipal water systems by adding other toxins like fluoride. So, and now pharmaceuticals are showing up in municipalities. It's a bad situation. Our food, Steve, for God's sakes, our food is so adulterated. GMO-type food and homogenized and artificially husked. And all of these processes that are going irradiated, for God's sakes. Just everything adulterous that you can imagine happening to our food is happening. And the bottom line is we're just not getting nutritious, healthy, vitamin and mineral, amino acid-filled foods. You know, even our water tastes dead.
Wow. You mentioned earlier about Fukushima and the detractors. Who say Fukushima isn't as bad as perhaps we're talking about. The detractors will say, well, if it was so bad, we would see people getting sick on the West Coast. Can you inform us, has that already started happening?
In my opinion, it has. I've heard of cases of encephalitis, which are children being born with their brains outside of their skulls and other just grotesque physical abnormalities and deformations to the bodies of young children. And thank God they don't live very long, Steve. I mean, this is just so insidious. Going on in Oregon, going on in counties all around Hanford, Washington, and now is starting to appear along the West Coast. Leukemia cases, just children, average-aged adults, and people dying left and right of cancers. So you don't associate these things to Fukushima, the toxicity of the food, the environment, and the water. It's almost as though the people have come accustomed that cancers are as common as the everyday cold. It could happen to anybody at any time. Where that is just not the way it used to be, Steve. This is unique to the 20th and 21st century.
That is pretty messed up, and it's certainly not how I grew up, knowing that cancers are so widespread and all these diseases and rare conditions are now starting to happen to the children being born. Yeah. Do you think it's going to get worse before it gets better?
Steve, I have conversations with Dane Wigington. You may know him from geoengineeringwatch.org. I'm going to jump behind him 100%. We need to get these messages out. Yes, I do. I talked to Professor Guy McPherson, who thinks it's over for the human race. This is a professor emeritus of biology from the University of Arizona, Professor Guy McPherson, who I had the privilege of talking to. He has pretty much given up on the human race. He doesn't believe we even have a decade left in him. And you're kind of asking the wrong person, because I have a personal bias here, Steve. I lost my mother on Thanksgiving Day this year. I lost two very close friends of mine that needlessly died of cancers, one of pancreatic cancer, one of stomach cancer. In the prime of their lives, just sneaks up on them within 6 months to a year, they're dead. This should not be happening in our society. And maybe I am coming at it from a biased position here, but I just think the rate of cancers across the nation are way out of control. They're not being reported. And you can't say, well, this person died because of Fukushima radiation that's been going, he's been exposed for 5 years, or that he ate some radioactive nucleotide, or he breathed in a hard particle. And we have this stuff is laying in the open all over our country. Also, Steve, you know, we have Cold Creek, Kansas. We have the St. Louis Westlake landfill in North St. Louis, Missouri, that they have spread this material all over the town, in parks, in schools. It's sitting in the landfill where there's a fire burning less than probably 1,000 yards from exposed Manhattan-era uranium. It was brought here from the Congo to St. Louis to be processed. None of the people knew what they were doing, what they were being involved in. It was the Manhattan Project. And to this day, people are still dying from the legacy of World War II and the Manhattan Project leftover waste and debris that's all over our nation. It's everywhere. We have 800 of these Superfund sites that are so toxic it will support no life of any kind. They have to have them fenced off, and the remediation is going to take centuries.
So you're basically reporting that there is nuclear waste and radioactive material sitting around in American towns and cities, just basically rotting away and poisoning the environment. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. It's proven. There's many, many resources out there. Levy Halabi, who allows me to use her information, given acclimates. Hi, Levy. She's been reporting with Don Chapman on the St. Louis landfill fire that is still going on to this day, uncontrolled, unchecked, but the EPA is looking into it. Well, you know, these people are being forced out of their homes, for Pete's sakes. Their children are sick, nose bleeding, headaches. And now what's going on here on the East Coast or West Coast in L.A., you know, it's the symptoms are almost identical. It could be, you know, that what is going back up into the air in L.A. are one of the three nuclear meltdowns that they had in the Santa Susana Mountains, because this is the exact area we're talking about where this catastrophic gas release is. And just putting that stuff back into the environment again, recycling it. It comes to revisit us again from decades past. Same area, and of course, same canyon.
And of course, it's not just the nuclear poisons that are getting us we are being exposed to. It is also the poisons in our foods, apart from GMOs. It's the poisons in our water from sodium hexafluoride. It's the vaccines that they're forcing us to have in many cases. We are being poisoned from every angle possible. Is that not true?
Well, it is true. It's absolutely true. And I came across a study here that was done just last year in 2014. I believe it was the University of Nebraska or Minnesota. I'm trying to find my notes right now. I was a little unprepared, but they determined that the largest two aquifers in the United States, the Ogalloga, that runs from northern New Mexico into Texas and all the way up to, north and South Dakota, is the largest aquifer. They did a recent study last year. I'm trying to find the university and the scientists that did this study. And they found that the Ogalloga aquifer is now contaminated 87 times higher than the year before of uranium, because of the saturation of pesticides and farming chemicals and blah, 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 that has leached down into the aquifer, that has kind of like activated because of the acidification and the strata being disintegrated and the chemical reactions that is now activating uranium that is usually safe underground is now mixing into our groundwater. So now the nation's entire water supply seems to have a radioactive taint to it as well.
Wow. Somebody who would say to you that it's the same old, this has been going on for the last 20 years and nothing will change, what do you think it will take to actually change this, to change this scenario, to change it around? What do you think it's going to take?
Well, you know, we protest the corporations, we write letters, we scream and we beg our congressmen and our representatives, our House and our legislature, please, please do something. Look into these matters. They turn a deaf ear to us, because if they shut down production for even 5 minutes, you know, it'll cost them $1 billion. And the bottom line is not lives, it's dollars. So I don't know what it's going to take. There are plenty of people out there that are aware and awake and want to see changes. They see these catastrophes in our environment. They know it's unsustainable. We can't even store nuclear waste, for Pete's sakes, and yet we are reloading the fuel in these nuclear power plants year after year, every single year, every single nuclear power plant. And all of the fuel spent fuel rods are kept on the premises of said nuclear facility. They still don't even, after 50, 60 years of this, still don't even know how to dispose of the waste that they're creating. They're dumping it in our oceans. It's in our environments. It's burned in open trenches. It's incinerated like they're doing in Japan right now. It's bled into the Pacific Ocean. They don't care. Now, from a personal perspective, Steve, between you and I and our listening audience, what I think it's going to take is that we're going to have to go together as a group of people, door to door, ring the doorbell, and when the occupant opens the door, we just smack them and say, wake the hell up. Look what's going on. Rub their face in it. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take, Steve. We talk incessantly day after day.
Yes. I do consider it's going to take senators and congressmen's sons and daughters to start dying off until they actually say, well, hold on, maybe there is a problem. You know, it's going to take a mass population getting sick and for people to take notice that, hey, there's an issue here with the people and we need to start addressing it. As sad as that is, and I certainly do not ever wish for that to happen, for anyone to die, but unfortunately, it's going to get that bad, and they're not going to let us know by the media. Do you see that they're already covering up a lot of these stories about people getting sick and the cancers that are happening?
Not only are they covering it up, Steve, they're going the extra foot on this. Just recently, I found out through Dane Wigington and listening to his very informed shows that they put a gag order on the NOAA, the National Atmospheric, Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the Weather Channel, the National Weather Service, gag orders, documents of confidentiality and non-disclosure that all employees must sign, so now they don't talk about anomalies in cloud formations. They don't talk about or even show the anomalies in radar and on the weather, what's going on with ocean currents. I mean, you'll get superficial things, but you're not going to see any more of those nice, pristine rainbow-shaped holes in cloud systems anymore. You're not going to see stuff like that because and this is the damnedest thing. This is one of the things that people talk about the most is the weather, how the climate is changing, how the environment is changing, and the people that are supposed to be watching, monitoring, and scientifically passing on the progression of their research are under gag orders, and they won't talk about geoengineering. They won't talk about modified foods. They won't talk about water shortages. They'll talk about droughts. They'll talk about blizzards. They'll talk about tornadoes, but nothing that's important to our day-to-day lives, things that are really starting to stack up against us.
Well, why do you think it is that they put a gag order on the Weather Service? Isn't that something that is a public service, is a public announcement office? I don't understand that. What's your take on that?
I don't understand that either, Steve, any more than how the Federal Reserve could be a federal branch of the United States government and a reserve repository for our cash and our money when they're actually a private group operating from a different country. You know, it's just these things just they'll spin your little top. You know, you just don't know where to go from here. It's unbelievable.
Do you believe the government is trying to fix the climate or is actually further damaging it?
Well, let's see. They started a program, a geoengineering program from the University of Calgary, Canada. That's where all the chemtrail spraying and the geoengineering is originating from a guy, Dr. David Keith, I believe is his name. He's in charge of it. And this is a multi-country, unilateral, working hand-in-hand, nationwide, all the nations of NATO that are trying to cool the planet. They believe that runaway global warming is going to do us in the next century. And they might be right. They may be right. Global warming is real. When the temperatures are 75 degrees above normal for this time of year in the Arctic Ocean, we're in trouble. When there is no sea ice coverage, which this year, thankfully, there's a little bit more than there was last year, and we're not having an ice free. But these things are serious. We're having droughts and fires in every country and nation around the world, entire forests burning down, burning hotter than they've ever burned before because they're loaded down with all this alumina that seems to be, I don't know, mysteriously appearing in our atmosphere sprayed over every country of the world. If you put it into a search engine, global dimming, it's the only evidence you'll ever find where they admit that they're trying to cool the planet artificially to protect us from runaway global warming, they're just making it worse. They're making it worse, and they're the ones that started this. Now, I don't believe for a minute they can control the weather, but that doesn't keep them from trying. And they're screwing up the ecological system, playing with the atmosphere and the environment of the Earth, you know, looking for the God particle in CERN. You know, I don't think that there's anything that we could do, Steve, to sidetrack or to get in the way of their agendas in the long run.
You know, one thing that both you and I have in common is that we are sons of servicemen. We are military brats that have had parents within the military, and we also, I do believe yourself and myself are very much great patriots for the United States. Is that not a fact of life, that you do stand for the United States and for the liberty that is being taken away from us?
I do. You know, I love my country. I love America. But I have some real reservations about what its government is doing. They are supposed to be our servants and our representatives, not our masters. And that's where I'm having the problem. Losing our freedoms a little bit at a time through the Patriot Act, constitution-free zones, which most Americans aren't even aware that this exists in their own country. it's 200 miles from any border, Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Mexico, or Canada. If you live within 200 miles of any of these borders, you live in a constitution-free zone, and you don't even know it. Your rights can be suspended without notice, or they will be suspended without notice. It's already happened. Yes. How could that happen in America? So there are so many of these agendas and so many of these programs and misdirection, you know, and you and I both know that when a topic comes up, say like anthropogenic climate change, that the people that are pro or con are the same people. They're on the pro side and the con side, controlling both sides of the argument. And that's where we find ourselves in most of these situations. We see it in these chat rooms all the time, Steve.
Now, do you believe it is actually corporations that are greatly to blame for the current state of the nation? Or have we been infiltrated?
No, I think that it's part of the infiltration of the world banking conglomerations. We're just kind of at the tail end of it, where it's starting to frazzle a little bit. The U.S. dollar is getting a little bit shaky, and now we have plenty of oil, and now we need to hook the American and the world society on new technologies. The Rothschilds have gotten out of the petroleum business altogether, and now now gas is plentiful. There's no longer shortages. The corporations are doing what they've always been doing. Now we're talking second and third and fourth generations of the same families that still own the same corporations, but the resources are getting more and more finite. They're going, you know, paying more, and I don't know if they need more labor because everything is now, you know, being done by machines. I just think that they're getting to a stage in the progression that there's a little bit of fraying happening at the tail end of this process. That it's still the control that they gained over us in 1912 and 1913 is still fully in effect to this day.
So could it be that their plan is actually starting to go awry?
Well, if you ask Professor Guy McPherson, we don't even have a decade left in us. And if you listen to the Arctic scientists in this Arctic blogs that are coming from the scientists working, you know, off the coast of Russia in the sea, the Laptev Sea, what's going on in the Arctic Circle, the eruption of the Gagau Ridge under the Arctic Circle, Ejikophila coal, the violent activity that's starting to increase once again in Iceland and other places of the world. Some great changes are coming. These people do not believe that we have very much time left in us at all, that the methane levels that are currently being released out of the Arctic are already higher than, say, 400,000 years ago in geological ice sediment. So it's a runaway feedback loop, and they really don't even know what to do about it. And most of the scientists are starting to feel about, even nuclear scientists, they have no idea how to address the problem at Fukushima or to develop the technology to get near it.
And everything they've done so far has failed big time. Is that not true?
That's right. They've spent up to $1 billion trying to put in an ice wall. And they tried it over and over, and it kept failing and failing. And finally, they came to a realization, hey, radioactive water does not freeze. So the ice wall was completely worthless. I mean, did they really need to spend billions of dollars in 3 years of wasted time to come to that conclusion?
Mm-hmm. What's your personal opinion about 9/11? Do you believe that 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters took down those buildings?
Oh, no, I do not. But I certainly don't want to get into the breast of the 911. I'd like to move a little bit past that to where we are right now, because we're just in a bad situation. But that is a good example of government compliance and United Nations and black ops, I believe. So, no, I certainly don't think that 19 box cutters, hijackers, were responsible for that, because in physics, two buildings do not fall identically into their footprints. Mathematically, that cannot even happen.
Wow. Okay, well, stick with us, Mr. Earthplay. Stick with us. This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with special guest Mr. Rick Chicago, a.k.a. Earthplay, live on internet radio around the world. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Bowser. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
You're listening to the People Speak Radio Show, coming to you live across America and across the world on the BBS Radio Network. This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our guest tonight. He's a political analyst, a prolific speaker on the loss of American liberties, and of course, he's a guy that's fighting just to get this information out about how our Earth is changing. Welcome back there, Mr. Rick Chicago, sir.
Thank you, Steve. I'm not a political analyst. I'm just a concerned American citizen, and it kind of chaps my hide that you and I have to take the responsibility of talking to our fellow Americans and citizens wherever we may reside, because our damn governments will not. Full of psychopaths and everything else. So
Amen.
Not a political analyst, but they make a political animal out of me when I have to do their job.
Yeah, I hear that. We have a question here from one of our guest audiences. Mr. Mike in California is asking, I'm wondering if Mr. Rick Chicago thinks the Yellowstone caldera will blow during our lifetime.
Hi, Mike. You know, you can't rule that out. The magma chamber has been filling now for the last decade, and there are telltale signs on the surface of changes. The bulging at the Norris Basin Lake area that displaced the Norris Lake to the south, inundating a forest. Geysers and hot springs that haven't been active in decades are now suddenly very vibrant. The Devil's Hole Road and most of the roads, even leading to Old Faithful, are heating up to the point where the asphalt and the tars are literally melting away. Puddles of water and steaming mud are now appearing on the surface. And although Yellowstone is not closed, they are discouraging people from getting around out there because there are so many geological disturbances that they are monitoring. Will it erupt in our lifetimes? Gee, I hope not. You know, I'm a geologist and an explorer and an adventurer, and I would have loved to have seen Mount St. Helens. I tried to get there, but I couldn't. But as much as I would love to see an event like that occur, you know, I hope that something like that, because there are larger ramifications to society and to the global society in general. So I don't know. It's touch and go when you're playing with Mother Nature.
Yeah, of course. We got a question. Sorry. We have a question from Pop Goes the Weasel in Bum Rape, Idaho, who says, isn't it true that GMOs are actually good for you?
Well, when you're not getting vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and uptaking that you need from your food, I would have to say no.
Okay. We have a question from Angelica in Melbourne, Australia. If there wasn't corruption, there wouldn't be conspiracy theories. Isn't that true?
Well, these things are not conspiracy theories. I mean, are they toxifying the air and the water and dumping things into our creeks and our rivers and our lakes and our ponds? Yeah, it's not a conspiracy. We know they're doing it. Codex Alimentarius and the pharmaceutical industries. Yeah, we know that they're polluting the freaking planet, toxifying the people, you know, all the people that die from pharmaceuticals and worldwide year to year. You never hear about, you may hear about them, but, you know, they fly under the radar. I'm not happy with any of these things, and I know we could do better. We have built one of the best societies in our history, the greatest civilization, and I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about all of us. We have built communities and cities and transports and airplanes and ships and travel and medicine wonders, scientific wonders that would leave you at awe. But yet we're paying such a great price for it in the toxification of our world, the early death of our children and being born with deformities. And, you know, I don't know if this figure is true or not, but 60% of all animal life on planet Earth has gone extinct in the last 40 years. You know, these are statistics that come from, you know, Dane Wigington, that come from Professor Guy McPherson, James McCanney, and, you know, the people that I'm associated with. So I don't have a prim and rosy outlook for the future. But, you know, damn it, people, we can do a heck of a lot better. We can be better stewards to our planet. It's just, how do we get the political systems to adjust to our wants? You know, we're still fighting that battle.
We have a question from one of the guests, Winston Smith in Hawaii. Has the guest on the show, Mr. Earthplay, read the report from Iron Mountain? The report from Iron Mountain. Have you read that?
God, that sounds so familiar. I may or I may not have in years past. The name rings a bell. Can you refresh me in any way on this?
I do believe it is a report about chemtrails. It could well be a report from Iron Mountain. I remember seeing it once as well, a couple of videos I watched a few years ago, but I'm not familiar with
this. Yeah, I think we've actually talked about this, and this would be a question for Dane Wigington, and I would most certainly pass the question on and have a discussion with him about it. And, you know, we could talk about this at a later date, but right now I'm drawing a blank. But these chemtrails are insidious. I mean, there's more than enough evidence to go to a federal court, but you can't get any court to listen to it.
Yeah. We do have a question from Love is Light in South Carolina, who asks the question, can you tell us more about the leak in California, the methane leak? Is there a lot of evidence coming out about what's happening there?
Not a lot. I have poured through a lot of information in the last couple of days. The best that I can determine is that this is a long-term fracking operation that's going on, where they're storing methane and natural gas deliberately in this region along the Northridge Fault Line, of all places. And the former home to three nuclear meltdowns at the Santa Susana Rocketdyne nuclear facility in 1961. It's just a dangerous place. I can't give you any more information that's available, only that the well is approximately 8,500 feet deep, which is about a mile and a half underground, that it's leaking profusely. They don't even know if it's coming out of their own system, if there's a break in the system, or if the geological strata has been compromised somehow due to a lot of earthquakes they're having in the region and just found that avenue an easy escape for something else. They really don't have any answers. I don't have any.
One thing I don't see much of is reporting about what's happening in our galactic weather and our solar weather, our space weather. And I do know that you do a lot of research into that. Is there anything happening out there in astrophysics-wise that you can share with us today?
You know, I love these kind of questions. I really do. And we're in solar cycle 24, going towards solar cycle 25, and it's the lowest solar cycle that they've ever measured, going back almost 300 years, 150 years back to London, where they were able to do shadow box type of measurements, measuring and recording sunspots on a day-to-day basis, leading into a Maunder minimum, which was the coldest event in our recent history, the Minor Ice Age in Northern Europe and Asia that occurred. Well, right now, the solar activity is below that. Why we're not in an ice age, nobody can really tell you why. Because the solar emissions have been waning. They've been in the A and B class emissions. C class would be normal. And then we would be watching for solar flares that were, of course, in the M and X class. And we really haven't had maybe a handful of M-class flares that are negligible to the Earth's environment, and very low X-class flares. So what's interesting is now we have low activity, a lower solar emission coming towards the Earth. We're not cooling down, but yet we're getting slammed by background cosmic radiation. Radiation that's coming from deeper in space off the galactic Milky Way and the galactic plane and nearby solar masses, Proxima and Alpha Centauri and all these, the background radiation is more easily being able to travel through and past our solar system. And what's really interesting is this topic of the IBEX wave coming from deep space, presumably the galactic core of the Milky Way galaxy, permeating like a wave of water crashing across the shoreline, only the IBEX wave is a photon belt. It's a wave of light, so you can't see it. It's made up of X-rays and microwaves and gammas, alphas and betas, and every sort of radiation that you can think of. It's completely invisible, and they really can't detect it until it hits the magnetic shield of a planet or a body or a comet or passes through a gas cloud and changes its color or composition. So we know that these waves, and I became aware of it December 23rd of 2013, maybe it was 14, it was 2 years ago, when we were allegedly hit, by the first IBEX wave, is what they're calling it, the IBEX ribbon or whatever, a lot of people call it different things. And there was no really tangible evidence that it did any damage to us. It seemed to have swept over and through and past our solar system with no real repercussions. But these are what's known by Dr. Paul LaViolette as galactic superwaves, and this would have been like a galactic superwave type 1 that is just barely readable in the background spectrum of the cosmic radiation, background radiation, that is now being blamed used as an excuse, is being used as an excuse for these unusually high radioactive readings that are falling out across the entire northern hemisphere. Well, they're able to say, oh, it's background radiation, it's not Fukushima, because we're having this increase of these galactic superwaves and this energy that's interacting with our solar system and our planet that adds more background radiation. And they're trying to lay it on this word, background radiation, coming from deep space. And it's not Fukushima. And they're just blatantly lying to you. It's just more spin, because we actually have both.
Wow. I do believe when you first announced the IBEX wave that it was a possibility as to being affecting Earth here, you actually got a lot of flack. You took a lot of flack from people who were upset with your research. Is that not true?
Oh, I still do. I still do. But I have so many definitive resources. I mean, you can go to the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories.gov, LLNL.gov, where they are physically drawing a map of the galactic plane, which people say doesn't exist. Well, if it doesn't exist, how do the scientists, are they making a map of it? And what they're doing is they're using the IBEX, which is the International Boundary Explorer, the Chandra X-ray Gamma Observatory, the Fermi, the HESS, the High Energy Stereoscopic Survey, and they're taking the data from each one of these programs and, like, transparencies, laying one over the top of the other, over the top of the other, and they're building a map of the galactic plane and all the objects in between us. And one of the biggest stories on the LLNL.gov website is 600 objects in the night sky. Just Google that. 600 objects in the night sky, which are a mystery to scientists. They have no clue what these things are, but the only thing that they know factually about these things is they're headed our way. Now, of course, you know, 100, 200, 300 years in the future, when these things do get to where we are now, we'll be further down the road. But who's to say that the road is not along a shoreline, and as that wave crashes in, it crashes in along the entire shoreline, and that we'll be missed. So there's a lot of mysteries out there still to be answered.
Would you trust anything that's put out by NASA, where they try to tell us or explain to us what about the IBEX wave and what it is? Would you trust anything from the NASA website?
Well, you know, if they can't even track their own weather satellites deorbiting and falling back into the Earth's environment, I'm starting to question their reliability and their ability to report the science. Their stories of having gone to the moon when they can't even get through the Van Allen belt. I'm starting to, at this point, take what NASA says with a grain of salt. I would rather go to the Russian Institute of Sciences, which I have on my browser. It's all in Russian, but the Google Translator will instantaneously turn all that information into English, where you can read how the American space program is so dependent on them just getting to space. We have no way to get to space except for the Russians and their reusable space shuttles. Now, we don't call them space shuttles. We call them Soyuz. But they are reusable. They launch these rockets, and they're all spacecraft, space shuttles. And they're also used to bring our astronauts back to Earth, the reusable spacecraft. If you want to learn about what the Chinese are doing in space, they're about to put together their own space station, and they're about to put a manned mission together and land on the moon by 2025, if we make it that far. But and we just can't get that information from NASA. We can't get that information from anybody. So we have to look outside of our own scientific institutions, our own academia, our own scientists, our own politicians, to foreign countries like the European Space Agency, the Institute of Sciences in Russia, and China itself.
Now, wow.
I call you a traitor. I've been called a traitor I've been called many names for this, but can you point me to another place that will talk about these issues? Because NASA surely will not.
There was a story just recently that the Chinese moon rover, the lunar rover from China, actually found no evidence of the United States landing site on the moon. Have you read that article, or do you know much about that?
I have seen that, and I've questioned for years and years with our high-energy stereoscopic survey ability from the surface, our observatories, and our geosynchronous satellites that we're not able to see any evidence of us having ever been there before. Are you telling me there's no way you can see the Sea of Tranquility and the multiple Apollo LEM landers? The portions, the bottom portions, should still be at all the landing sites. The rover should be, you know, something that you can photograph on the surface. Nothing. There is nothing that would prove that NASA has ever been to the moon except for their word. And now this is what's interesting. In all of this history of science, scientific exploration, all scientific discoveries and accomplishments are peer-reviewed. They're repeatable. You should be able to show evidence how you did it. NASA has lost, conveniently lost, all the archives and all the technology that would show how they got to the moon. They can't show that. There is no scientific peer review concerning the moon landings anywhere on the planet except for that of NASA's own claims.
Wow. In your opinion, Mr. Earthplay, do you believe that planet Earth is just one big slave plantation?
It is becoming that way, but as long as we all have peace of mind and understand the position that we're in, that they're never going to completely have us as slaves. But metaphorically, I'm going to have to give this around to you, Steve, that yes, we are pretty much a slave planet to the corporations, mm-hmm. to the governments, to the powers that be, the world bankers.
How important is critical thinking for people, the actual people of the Earth? How important is it for critical thinking for them to engage in?
I don't think much of that is going on. We were listening last night to Professor Michio Kaku and we're getting feedback here, and some other prestigious people in our society are telling us that our educational system is crap. Getting a lot of feedback here.
Are you there? Still there?
I'm here.
Okay. What's the biggest danger facing our world today, in your opinion?
Complacency. People not giving a damn. The toxification of our waterways, Fukushima, the sixth major extinction crisis, animal deaths worldwide going on right now, our food chain, the state of the oceans and global waters, our food, Monsanto's, geoengineering, global dimming, rapid global climate change, the migrating poles, the magnetic field and magnetic integrity of our field strength, what's going on in the core right now, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, and you know, you've been with me all the way on this, brother, that we've been taking the slack of the earthquake and volcanic activity being up 400% in the last decade as compared to the entire last century. And now, as you know, we have been vindicated on that topic. The methane hydrates, 167 times stronger than carbon dioxide, just filling the atmosphere. And we now have that volcano puncturous leak in Los Angeles that nobody seems to give a damn about. The nuclear industry, the 112 nuclear accidents worldwide, including Fukushima, Chernobyl, and their wind scale. There are just so many of these, the pandemics, and of course, man himself and war and all of the natural boundaries in the golden zone to support life that we are just hopscotching and skipping around and playing with that line. exceeding many of these boundaries. So these are the things that concern me, and I think are the most immediate concerns that most people should be concerned about: their food, their water, their air. I could give a damn about the size of Kim Kardashian's ass this week, or if Bruce Jenner is now legitimately a woman. I could care less. The next president of the United States will be Hillary Clinton. So sit down, shut up, and deal with it. You know, that is a situation we have put ourselves in by allowing this to continue decade after decade after decade. And like the rest of you, I will continue to speak up and speak out on these issues, but I'm not really sure what to do about it. I'm not willing to strap a machine gun to my shoulder, walk down Main Street telling everybody it's the time, because a SWAT team would take me out in the first hour. You know, I want to be there through the entire course of events. So I'm not willing to step out.
One more question.
Okay.
And certainly, I do want to get you on the show again to talk about the mantle waves that are happening inside the Earth, because you've done a lot of research about that, and we just haven't got time for that today. But last question, do you support the stop funding of Israel?
Absolutely. It's an illegitimate nation, self-proclaimed nation. They were supposed to be a city-state. They have stolen and plundered from all of their neighbors. It's just a miserable situation, reducing classes of people to second-rate citizens and animals. It's atrocious.
Fantastic. Listen, thanks very much for being on the show today, Mr. Earthplay, sir.
Thank you.
Join us coming up on the People Speak show when we talk with Professor Ian Plimer in the near future, with Ryan Dawson and many other special guests. Stay tuned for those interviews coming soon. Big thanks go out to the producers Mike, Doug, and Donald, and of course to Mr. Rick Chicago, Earthplay, and to all my friends throughout the world, and all the guys who give me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune in to my own YouTube channel called Stop Funding Israel. But for me for now, take care, and bye until next time. Hope you like this one just as much as I do.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief of us, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry.